Turn in your Bibles to John 13. We're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. And, of course, this is a great Gospel. It shows Jesus to be the Son of God, the Messiah. We've seen already in these 12 chapters the seven signs that Jesus did to prove that He indeed is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior. All who believe in Him have eternal life. We're seeing that last night, the final night of Christ's life and ministry before He goes to the cross. He's with His men in what we call the upper room. And before this night is over, He will be arrested. He will be tried six times, three times by the Jews, three times by the Romans. He'll be found guilty by the Jews, innocent by the Romans. And yet by 9 o'clock the next morning, He'll be on the cross. We find that we're in this upper room in Jerusalem where Jesus and His men are observing what we call the Passover meal. We sometimes say it's the Last Supper. John doesn't give us the details. It's amazing that in the other Gospels you have some details about the Passover meal, but in the Gospel of John, not many details, but a lot about what Jesus taught. He's teaching His men His final time with them. We call it His private ministry. This morning as we look at verses 1 through 11, John 13, 1 through 11, we'll see several key things. We're going to see servanthood and cleansing. They go together because He gets up to wash their feet. And as He does that, He's showing that He's a servant, but at the same time, He cleanses them. And He talks about that in this passage. It's actually a passage that shapes our Christian life. I want you to think about it. The foundation for our lives today is we're to be servants and we're to be clean. We're to deal with sin in our lives. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, the main emphasis in the first part of what we're going to see is the idea of being clean. And then next time, it won't be next week because next week it's Easter and we'll do a Easter message. But the next time after that, we'll see Jesus teaching about servanthood. So this time it's the cleansing. The next time it's the servanthood. But He shows it both as He washes their feet. You remember when you were little, when you were younger, when you summertime came, you got to play outside a lot. I loved it. I love summer. I love summer now. I'd like to be outside right now. It'd be so fun. Think about it. We used to play, and my mother used to say this. She said, you can stay out as long until the street light comes on. And when the street light comes on, you have to come home. You have to come in. And you'd come in, and what would they say? You need to get a bath. And you'd say, I don't want a bath. Why do I need a bath? Because you're dirty. Because you've been outside. You've been playing all day. You need a bath. The truth is, as we go through our days, we get dirty. Think about the Christian life. It's the same thing. As we go through our lives day after day, sometimes we sin. Sometimes we get dirty in that sense. And we need to be clean. This aspect is often called confession of sin. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Think about the Old Testament priest for just a minute. It's a picture of us in reality. In the temple, the priest, there was a big altar right there in which they offered these sacrifices. And somebody would bring up a sacrifice and the priest would take it and he would cut the throat and the blood would go everywhere and he'd take that animal and he'd put it up on that altar. And then when he got through, he would do this. He would go over to the laver and it had water in the top and in the bottom. And he would put his feet in there and he'd wash his feet and he'd wash his hands. He'd wash himself so he could be clean for the next time. And then he would go back and go, next, who's next? And in reality, that's us, because in the Christian life, see, we go through life and we want to serve God, but we get dirty, and we need to be cleansed. This morning in John 13, Jesus teaches this truth to His disciples, and we'll see two things. We'll see servanthood and cleansing. We'll see servanthood as He gets up and He washes their feet, and then we'll see cleansing as He explains this whole idea about fellowship. This morning, the focus is on the cleansing. And we'll see how that ties together as we go through the passage. Let's begin. Let's think about where we are. As I said, we've come to the change in the book. The first 12 chapters basically show the seven signs that Jesus did, showing that He's the Christ, that He's the Messiah, that He's the Savior. And then you get a little further on. Let me break it down for you. First 12 chapters is public ministry, chapters 13 through 17. Of course, you know, after this is 18, 19, 20, 21, which is the death and resurrection and all of that. But 13 through 17, this is His private ministry. And for the last few studies, for the last few weeks as we go through the Gospel of John, we've seen the final week of Christ's life and ministry. He is, when I say life, this ministry on this earth, because He can raise from the dead 3 days later, walk on the earth for 40 days, send back into heaven, and be seated at the right hand of the Father. For the last few studies we've seen, He came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, presenting Himself for the last time as the King of the Kings and the Lord of Lords. We saw that He fulfilled Zechariah 9:9. The next day He cleansed the temple, which wasn't even in the Gospel of John. He cursed the fig tree. He disputed with the religious leaders. And then on His final day of His public teaching, he proclaimed this truth. He said, if you believe in him, you have eternal life. If you do not believe in him, there is judgment coming. You believe in him, you have life. You reject him, you have death. Now, on this final day, that's what he taught. He has then instructed two of his disciples to go find a place that they would have the Passover meal, because it's time for Passover. He sent two of his guys into the city. He said, go into the city, look for a man carrying a big jar, a big thing of water. Follow this man to a house. When you get to that house, go in and ask the owner of the house, say, where is the room that is set apart for the master that he might eat the Passover? They went in the town. They saw a guy carrying a pitcher of water. They followed the guy, went right to the house, went in. The guy said, oh, it's upper room. I got it right up here. And so they got everything ready. And now, when we get to chapter 13, they're in the upper room. And they're about to eat this Passover meal. The 12 men and Jesus. Let me break down this passage for you just to see just these first 11 verses. We'll see the Passover meal, which is 1 and 2, and not hardly any details there at all. But then we see Jesus washing the feet. Jesus prepares himself. Peter raises some questions. Jesus answers the questions. And then at the very end, Jesus talks, the very end of this little section, he talks about the betrayer. Now, let's talk for a minute about this upper room and this Passover meal. What is going on? We are studying the book of Exodus on Sunday night. We're just about through with it. In the book of Exodus is this story. The nation of Israel, the children of Israel, they are in bondage in Egypt. They've been in bondage for over 400 years. God raises up Moses to go to the Pharaoh and confront the Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Pharaoh says, I'm not going to let your people go. I don't know the Lord. God brings all the plagues. The final plague is the death of the firstborn. And what God says for his people to do is to get them a lamb. Kill the lamb. Put the blood on the side of the doors and the top of the door. At midnight, God will come through to judge and to kill the firstborn. When he sees the blood on the door, he will pass over your home. The Jewish people killed the lamb, believing God, put the blood on the door, stayed in their homes, and God passed over their homes. Of course, Pharaoh let the people go, and they left. And every year after that, on the 14th day of the first month of the month of Nisan, which corresponds to our March in April, they would celebrate Passover, and they would remember how God had delivered them from the bondage of Egypt by the Passover lamb. This night, Jesus is with his men, and they're observing the Passover, but Jesus makes a change. In the middle of the Passover meal, he says, I'm the Passover lamb. See this bread? This represents my body. See this juice? This represents my blood, which is shed for you. And from that moment on, from that time forward, the Passover meal would become what we call the Lord's Supper, because we remember the death and the resurrection of our Savior. And Jesus is telling them he's about to go die for them and to be bruised and wounded in his body and to shed his blood as the payment for our sins. So that's what we're seeing. Now, during that meal, I want you to understand that there were four glasses of wine that they drank during the Passover meal. Well, what happened oftentimes is after the first glass of wine, the host, which would be Jesus, would wash his hands. Jesus does something different. Not only does he wash his hands, he gets up, takes off his top, takes a towel, and begins to wash their feet. He's going to teach them servanthood and cleansing. Look what happens, chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now we saw the first four verses last week, so I'll go a little faster through them. But remember, it says that it's now Passover, and Jesus knows that his hour has come. All the way through the book of John, it has been saying, his time is not yet, his time is not yet, his hour is not come, now it's come. It's time for Jesus to go to the cross for us. It's time for Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Notice the end of the verse. It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. There's a great truth that God loves us unconditionally, completely to the end. I want you to notice this. His love is unconditional and it is unchanging. I want you to realize the unchanging love of God. Listen to this. Richard Halverson, who used to be the chaplain in the Senate, said this. God's love cannot be added to or taken away. It is unchanging. He does not love some more than others. His love is infinite, eternal, unlimited, personal, impartial, and unconditional. I want you to understand something. God loves you with an everlasting, complete love. If you serve God, He loves you to the maximum. If you do not serve God, He loves you to the maximum. His love does not change. It is not based on you. It is based on Him. He has chosen to love us unconditionally. It's a powerful truth. It's a powerful truth. Watch what happens. During the supper, verse 2, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. That Judas Iscariot, we talked about it last week, he's one of the 12 chosen by Jesus. He does not believe in Jesus as Savior. He thinks Jesus is going to be the king. He wants to be with Jesus when the king comes. He thinks Jesus is going to whip the Romans and they're going to set up and rule the world. But he notices that Jesus doesn't act like that, and it looks like it's not going to happen. So he decides to switch over to what he considers the winning side, and he goes to the religious leaders and says, what will you give me if I turn him over to you? They said, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. Judas said, I'll look for a good time to do it. It says here, in that night at the supper, during the supper, the devil having already put into the heart Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. You realize Judas is not a believer. He's called the son of perdition. God is going to use Judas to carry out his plans. You must understand, God uses both believers and unbelievers to fulfill his purposes. He raised up Pharaoh for his purposes. He's raised up Judas. Look at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. Now, this is a great truth. He knows everything is done. Everything is set up. God's got it all going. Everything is right. And he knows that he has come forth from the Father and he's going back to the Father. You understand that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, that at a point in time in history, he left the glories of heaven to become a human being. He's the God-man. He became a human being so he could go to the cross, die in our place, be our substitute, die and rise again, conquering death, and then ascending back to be with the Father. That is the plan. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ would leave the glories of heaven to become a person coming forth from the Father, die on the cross, be raised and ascend into heaven, going back to the Father. That's what this says. It says he had known that he had come forth from God and he was going back to God. Powerful truth. Now look at the verse. Got up from supper, laid aside his garments, taking a towel, he girded himself. Now this is an amazing thing because, you know, sometimes they would get up to wash their hands, but he's going to get up to do something else. He took off, as we talked about last week. You remember, Jesus had nothing. It says, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He had nothing. The only thing that had was any value at all was a good pullover shirt. And he took it off. And you remember when they had him on the cross and they took it off because they put him up there without any clothes on. They cast lots to see who would get the shirt because they didn't want to cut it into pieces. He took it off, takes a towel. Now, you've got to understand something. We talked about it last week. They didn't sit at a long table like the picture shows in chairs. It doesn't. They had a small little table about that high. The food was on the table. They were in a circle around the table and they were reclining. They would lie out, their face this way, their feet out this way. They were lying on the floor. They're in a circle. Now I want you to picture something. You're going to eat the Passover meal with Jesus. Where do you want to be? Because see, Jesus, there was always the number one place was right here. Because this is the head of the meal, and he's going to direct it all. But then there's going to be somebody here, and 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 here. The best two places are where? Right here and right here. You want to be in one of those two places? So when they came in for the meal that night, guess what they all did? They're pushing and shoving. Who's going to get to the closest place, right? You know who made it? On this side? Here's Jesus right here. You know who's on this side? John, youngest one. He's probably the fastest. Right? Okay? You know who's on this side? Judas. Peter's over here. He may have tripped. Who knows? You know? Now, let me tell you what they should have done when they came in. In places, there's a thing of water over here because, see, you got dirty feet. And you're going to be, everybody's going to be on the floor all stretched out. So what you do when you come in is you wash your feet. But guess what? We're all in a hurry because we're going to get the best place. So nobody washes feet. And at this house that we're borrowing, obviously there's no servant there to wash everybody's feet when they come in. And obviously not one of the 12 is going to stop and say, hey, everybody over here, look, I'll wash everybody's feet and then y'all get a place. And nobody's going to do that. Nobody's washed their feet. What does Jesus do? He gets up, gets a basin, pours some water in it, has the towel girded around him, and he's going to start, and he's going to go around the circle. He's going to wash their feet. Why? To show them servanthood and to teach them cleansing. Now, it says, he got up from supper and laid aside his garments. Taking a towel, he girded himself. Philippians 2:5, so let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. That though he's God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, came to the earth and took the form of a person, and then humbled himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross. His servanthood is when he left the glories of heaven to become a man. He's showing his servanthood by washing their feet. So watch what he does. He poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. They're going to see two things. His servanthood, because they're going to watch him do it, and then he's going to teach them the cleansing. He's going to tell them what this is all about. So watch what happens. He's going around the group. Look who he's going to get to. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, now the he is Peter. He said to him, he said to the Lord. He said, Lord, do you wash my feet? This is embarrassing. All of a sudden they're realizing, wait a minute, this is embarrassing because we should have all, one of us should have washed feet. We should have washed our own feet. Here's Jesus, the Lord, the Master, the Savior, the King, the God. He's everything. He's washing our feet. Peter says, you going to wash my feet? Did you know what they were arguing about? One of the other Gospels tells us, you know what they were arguing about before they got to this? They were arguing, who's going to be the best one in the kingdom? Who's going to get the best two places? And they said, if we're going to get the best two places in the kingdom, we might as well get the best two places at the meal. Oh, it's pretty embarrassing that Jesus is about to wash their feet. But he's showing them servanthood, and he's showing them cleansing. So Peter says, you're going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. He said, what I'm doing, you're not getting it right now. You don't understand this is about cleansing and servanthood and all these kind of things. You haven't got it all yet, but you will. You will. At this point, he hadn't got it. He said, you'll understand later. Now, I want you to think about cleansing for just a second, because there's an aspect of cleansing and salvation and cleansing in the Christian life, and I want to show you the analogy of this. When you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, you have put your faith in Christ as your Savior. The moment you believed in Christ as your Savior, you're completely washed and cleansed. It's like you took a bath. In fact, the Greek word we're going to see in a minute is a bath. You were completely cleansed. You have forgiveness of sins. You have a relationship with God that will never end. You have eternal life and a relationship with God. So you just took a big old bath and you're clean. And you're clean. And so understand that the moment you believe in Christ, you got a bath and you're clean. Now, there's a second aspect that in our Christian life, as we go through life, we're clean all over, but we get our feet dirty. This is the analogy. And we have sin in our life. And so what are we supposed to do as a Christian? We're supposed to confess our sin, deal with our sin, and get clean. He's going to use this analogy with Peter. Because what he's doing right now is all these men are clean because they have believed in him as Savior. But their feet are dirty. And they need forgiveness and confession of sin so they can serve him. So just remember this. The moment you believe in Christ, you're clean all over. But as you go through life, you sin and you need to be cleaned. One's a bath. One is a washing. He's going to wash their feet. So he tells Peter. Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. You're going to wash my feet? He says, yeah, what I'm doing, you don't really understand right now, but you will. Now, Peter doesn't grasp this, and he doesn't really like it because it's almost an embarrassing thing to him. So look what he says. Verse 8, Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. No, you're not going to stoop to do that. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. You understand that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you got the bath. But day in and day out, to serve God, you have to have the washing. You have to deal with your sins. That's what he's telling Peter. I want you to understand this. in order to have fellowship with our Savior, we must be clean. Peter hadn't got it yet. Peter didn't get it right this second. Jesus is basically saying, you're clean because you got the big bath, but right now everybody needs their feet washed because you have sin in your life. And you got to be in fellowship with me and not have sin in order to serve me. So you know Peter. Peter always talks when he shouldn't talk. He always says the wrong things. And so when Jesus said, listen, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. So look at verse 9. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Wash me all over. If you're going to wash, let's just do the whole thing. See, Peter forgot. He's already been washed the whole thing. When he believed in Jesus as his Messiah and Savior, he's already completely washed, but now he needs his feet clean. Look what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet. But he's completely clean and you are clean, but not all of you. Now, I want you to notice there's two words in there. He who has bathed, that's one word, needs only to wash. There are two Greek words. The word for bath means a total washing. He says, if you've been bathed, you've been totally washed. This was the word used of a person who had took a bath, complete bath. He says, if you bathed, you're completely clean, but you only need to wash. And the second word, wash, means to sponge off, to clean only a part. He says, if you've already been bathed all over, Peter, you only need one little part cleaned off. For us who know Christ as Savior, if we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we've been cleaned all over. But as we go through life, we get our feet dirty. That's sin. We have to have it washed. So think about this. The first aspect of cleansing is salvation. By faith in Jesus Christ, we're cleansed and we're forgiven. That's the bath. That's total. Every one of this room, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you had the bath. You're clean completely. But as we go through this, our Christian life, the second cleansing is we get sin, we get dirty, we lose our fellowship. We must confess our sins. It's not a bath, but it's the washing daily. And this is what Jesus is doing. And Peter hadn't grasped it yet. See, by faith in Christ, you're completely washed. 1 Corinthians 6:11, you were washed, you were sanctified. But as we go through life, we lose fellowship with God. See, the first bath has to do with relationship, which cannot change. But the washing has to do with fellowship, which does change. You can have sin in your life and you lose fellowship, but you'll never lose your relationship. Now, I want to tell you something. This is a picture of the priest in the Old Testament. If you were a descendant of Aaron, you had to be a descendant of Aaron to be a priest. When you got 30 years old, you got to serve as a priest. On the day you got 30, you walked out in front of all the people and they put a curtain around you and you took off your clothes and you took a bath. And then they brought your priestly robes and you put it all on and you looked good. And then they turned back the curtain and you walked out and you said, I'm now a priest. And he just took a bath and he's clean all over. But as he served day in and day out, he got blood, dirt, things on him. And what would he have to do? He'd have to go to the laver, clean his hands, clean his feet. For us in this room, you trust Christ as Savior, you have a big bath. You're clean, you're fellowship, you have a relationship with God that will never end. And you don't need another bath because you put your faith in Christ, he gives you life forever. But as we go through life, we sin. We all do things wrong. We think things wrong. We sometimes sin on purpose, called rebellion. We say, I know that's wrong, I'm still doing it. Sometimes we just fall short of the glory of God. So what do we need to do when that happens? We need to confess our sins. We need to deal with our sins. I want you to see something. I want you to hold your place. I'm going to go real fast. Turn almost to the back of your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. Now, if you get to the book of Revelation, that's the very end. Then kind of come back two or three books because there's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. And they're all little short books. So just get to the very back. Turn to 1 John. Most of you know this verse. But I want you to see it anyway. It's 1 John 1:9. I want you to see a great truth because you need this. Because if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you've got the bath. You're clean completely. But as you go through life and you seek to serve, you get dirty. Let's just say this. We get our feet dirty. We have to be washed. Look what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins. Now the word confess means to tell on yourself. That's what it means. In fact, let me put this up here for you, right there. Confess means to speak the same thing. The word confess in the Greek is two Greek words put together. The word homo, legeo. Legeo means to say. Homo means the same. Homosexual, same sex. Homo means same. Legeo means speak. It's one word, homologeo, which means to say the same thing. Confession of sin is you say the same thing that God would say. That means when you do something wrong, you say, this is wrong, and I know it's wrong. That's what confession. He says, if we confess our sins, what is God? He is faithful, and he's righteous to do what? To forgive us our sins and to, watch, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us. He washes our feet. We already had the bath. We just need our feet washed. Now let me tell you, I found this story the other day. Found this letter. It's a letter to the IRS. It says this, dear gentlemen, enclosed you'll find a check for $150. I cheated on my income tax return last year, and I've not been able to sleep ever since. If I still have trouble sleeping, I'll send you the rest. Sincerely, a taxpayer. Yeah, when you wash your feet, you shouldn't have any trouble sleeping, right? Because you deal with your sins. Back to John chapter 13. We'll go real quickly. I want you to notice the end of the verse again. Jesus said, he who has bathed, if you got the full thing, you need only to wash the little part of your feet. But you're completely clean. And you, he says, Peter, you are clean. But notice, but not all of you. What? For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. He's talking about Judas. And let me tell you something. They're all around that table. And when Jesus says, but not all of you are clean, they didn't all go, Judas. In fact, you'll find in the other Gospels, when he says that, they all say this. Is it me? It's not me, is it? It's not me. They never thought Judas would be the one. In fact, in a little bit, Jesus is going to look at Judas and say, do what you're going to do. And Judas gets up and leaves. And not one of them thinks he's going to betray. They all think Judas is going to go buy food or something. They never suspected him. Judas had not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. He was not clean. He had never had the bath. He was not a believer. He was a betrayer. We'll see it more. What have we seen this time? We've seen the Passover meal where Jesus washes the feet and he teaches two things, servanthood and cleansing. We got cleansing today. We'll get servanthood the next time we look at the passage. Peter said, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus said, I have to. And he said, no, you're not. And he said, well, if I don't, you won't have a part with me. And he said, well, then do the whole thing. He said, you don't need the whole thing. You already had the bath. You just need the feet. And every one of us in this room who have trusted in Christ, we already had the bath. We just need the feet. Day in and day out. He said, not all of you are clean. There's one of you that's not. Let me give you an application. Let's understand cleansing for salvation and service. Let's understand how this fits. First of all, cleansing is necessary for salvation. In order to be saved, we've got to be clean. In order to have an eternal relationship with God, something's got to be done with our sins, and we've got to have forgiveness and all of that. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. And the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, we are cleansed. So I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. It's not your goodness, your rights, your works, or works or righteousness or anything that you do. It's not going to church, being good, giving money or anything. It is faith alone in Christ alone. He indeed is the Savior. He's done it all. He says, I give you life. Believe in me for eternal life. And right where you're sitting, you don't have to walk down an aisle. You don't have to do anything. You just simply put your faith in Christ and he gives you eternal life and you are clean and you have had the bath. Okay? Second, cleansing is necessary for service. As we go through our lives, as we go through our Christian lives, we do things wrong. We get our feet dirty, as the analogy is showing. What do we have to do? We have to deal with our sin. The Bible tells us to confess our sin. It means to tell ourselves, it says, speak the same thing. You come to God and you say, I lied. I know that's wrong. That's wrong. I lied. Or I did this, or I did this. When you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. So as we think about this passage, my prayer is that every one of you in this room have had the bath. You've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, and you're saved and you're washed. My prayer also is that as we seek to live for Jesus Christ, when we recognize, when we understand that we have sin, right then we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, and we have our feet clean so that we can serve the living God. Remember what he said to Peter? Peter said, "You're not going to wash mine." He said, "If I don't wash you, you can't have a part. You can't serve me. It would serve with me. You can't be with me. You can't have a part." We want to have a part. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our passage. Lord, thank you that when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we're clean forever in that sense, that you give us the bath and we are completely clean. But Lord, we realize that as we go through our Christian lives, as we go through our lives seeking to live for you and serve you, that sometimes we sin and we do wrong. And when that happens, then we're out of fellowship and we're not able to serve. So Lord, may we confess our sins, and you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And then we can be back in fellowship and we can have a part with you and we can do the things you want us to do. Help us, Lord, to learn from this. Help us as we see Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection. Help us to proclaim in this community the message of salvation to those who do not know. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.